So Luke and Bethany are going to give you a chocolate. Anyone who wants one can take one, but please do not eat it until I say. Okay? Take a chocolate, but please do not eat it until I say. When can you eat it? When I say. Great. So I wonder, Luke asked the question, how did you feel? How did you feel when there were the carrot workers and there were the chickens hemmed in? I wonder what you said to your neighbour. Maybe you felt a bit sad to see the chickens. Maybe you felt a bit mad that people are treated badly in their workplace. Maybe you felt completely detached and like, oh yeah, I kind of am vaguely aware that happens. Well, when I look at the world, I do feel really overwhelmed about how broken it is at the moment. Does anyone else? This day, we celebrate harvest, everything God has given us, but we recognise that our food system is so broken that people in our neighbourhood, just in our view, don't have enough food to eat, that people across the world do not have enough food to eat. Today is also, or a couple of days ago, it was the start of October. In October, we celebrate Black History Month, and a month where we get to celebrate the contributions and culture and history of Black people, but also where we recognise that prejudice and racism still exists in our communities, in our nation, in our world. This month, I'm just going to put on the screen, it's also Domestic Abuse Awareness Month, it's World Habitat Day, it's Infection Prevention Control Day, it's International Day for the Eradication of Poverty. Our world is so broken, and this is in the midst of war and famine and persecution, isn't it? And so I feel really sad. I feel so sad when I look at the news. I feel so mad. And I think that God feels really mad too. In scripture it says he is angry with the wicked every day. I think he's really mad about what's happening. I wonder what injustice you see in the world that makes you feel sad or mad. Underneath your chair, you've got a piece of paper and you've got a pen. What I'd like you to do is to write down on your piece of paper and your pen, what injustice do you see in the world that makes you sad or makes you mad? Make sure you've written something down because you're going to need it. Feel free to draw it if you don't want to write it. That's fine. Well, today we are going to talk about a biblical response to injustice that we see. What does the Bible say we should do when we see these injustices happening in our world? Well, it tells us to speak up. It says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. The Bible also tells us to act. Practically, just like we've done today by giving donations, the Bible teaches us to act. This is a passage from James and it says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and is in need of daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical need, what good is it? We're called to speak up, we're called to act, and we're also called to pray. And that is what we are going to be thinking about today, church. We're going to be thinking about how do we pray for injustice. And we are going to learn from a man called Habakkuk. Can you say Habakkuk? Great, that's mainly to check you're not eating your chocolate. Don't eat it until I tell. So Reuben's already gone for it. Beth has had his... Oh, she didn't, for you. So remember, don't have your chocolate until I say. So can you give a round of applause, please, to Habakkuk? Round of applause for Habakkuk. This is Habakkuk. He looks a little bit like your vicar, but I promise you he's not. He's Habakkuk. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He lived a long time ago in a land called Judah, and around him there was a lot of injustice. There was violence, the poor were oppressed, the leaders were corrupt, and he cried out to God, and we're going to hear what he said.
Lord! I continue to ask for help. When will you listen to me? I cried to you about the violence and you did nothing. People are stealing things, People are hurting others. They are arguing and they are fighting. Why do you make me look at these terrible things with my eyes? The law is weak and it's not fair to people. Evil people win their fights against good people. So the law is no longer fair and justice does not win anymore.
Thank you, Habakkuk. Very good. Very good. Well, who can relate to that prayer? You look around and you pray and nothing seems to change. Well, Habakkuk teaches us that we can bring our lament, our sadness, our raw feelings to God. We can come to God just as we are, just with how we're feeling. And so that is what we are going to do now. We're going to turn in groups of four or five and we're going to pray for the things that you wrote down on your piece of paper. Before you do that, whilst you're praying, I'm going to be making something at the front from the paper that you wrote your injustice down on. So can you pass your injustice to the middle row, the thing you wrote down on the piece of paper, pass it to the middle, and Lucy and Luke are going to collect them up for me. And then turn in groups of four or five and pray. Just tell God how you feel when you see these injustices that you wrote down on your piece of paper. Okay, I'm going to wrap up our time of prayer. Lord, we see injustice all around us and we cry out, how long, Lord? Teach us to care for the weak, to speak for the oppressed and to act with mercy. Thank you that your justice is stronger than all, God. Amen. Well, we have created, whilst you've been praying, a chain of injustice from all the things that you wrote down, a chain of injustice as a visual reminder of the injustices that we see in the world and the prayers that you have offered up to God this morning. Well, let's go back to our story. What happens next? Well, God hears our prayers. He hears Habakkuk's prayers. And this morning, he hears our prayers too. He hears all these prayers that we've prayed, all these prayers that you have prayed. And he heard Habakkuk's prayer. And then he spoke. He spoke to Habakkuk. So, Beth is going to be God for me. Let's hear what God has to say to Habakkuk.
He says, look at the other nations, watch them, and you will be amazed. I will do something in your lifetime that will amaze you. You would not believe it, even if you were told about it. I will make the Babylonians a strong nation. They are cruel and powerful fighters. They will march across the earth. They will take houses and cities that don't belong to them. The Babylonians will scare the other people. They will do what they want to do and go where they want to go.
Thank you, God. Let's do a heavy round of applause for Beth. So God answers Habakkuk and he says, I will bring justice. I will bring justice where there's wickedness in Judah. But my justice will be like nothing like you think. I'm going to raise up Babylon. Now, Babylon was this evil empire, but he used Babylon to bring justice to Judah. So God acts, not in the way that Habakkuk might expect, but God does act. He acted then and he acts now. I wonder if you have examples of where God has acted against injustice. I've heard stories of people who are wrongly imprisoned be set free. I've heard stories of miraculous rains coming and saving harvest. I've heard stories where prayer groups have transformed their communities and economically empowered their communities. I've heard examples of where corruption has been brought to light. I wonder if you've got examples of where God has acted and brought his justice. Well, 500 years after God acted and brought Babylon to bring justice to Judah, God acted again in the biggest act of love that we know. He sent Jesus Christ to come to this earth. And Jesus's mission is one of justice. Jesus came to tell good news to the poor. He came to comfort those who are sad. He came to set the prisoners and the captives free. He came to comfort everybody. He came to announce the time that God is coming to show his kindness. That is what God sent Jesus for. So God acts now and he is acting through Jesus. So there is hope. God is acting. Isn't that amazing that God is acting? But we also know that we don't see the fullness of justice, do we? We don't see the prayers that we answer and get prayed now. Well, God has an eternal view. We have a very narrow view of our lifetime. God has an eternal view. And where Jesus has already begun setting us free, this is going to continue. So someday, Jesus is going to return, and he is going to break these chains of injustice. Yes, can we give a round of applause for Jesus? He is going to wipe away every tear. Yay. He's going to stop all pain. He's going to end suffering forever. And that is the hope that we have. We have a hope that God is acting now and God will restore all things. Isaac just asked me if he can have his chocolate yet. Not yet. Soon, I promise, soon. So this is what gives us the strength to keep trusting in God and to keep praying these prayers of injustice. And at the end of Habakkuk, we hear that this is kind of where he gets to as well. He gets to a point where he knows that he can trust in God. So we're going to hear from Habakkuk again, if he can find a script. Habakkuk.
The figs might not grow on the fig trees. The grapes might not grow on the vines. The olives might not grow on the olive trees. And food might not grow in the fields. There might not be any sheep in the pens or cattle in the barns. But I will still be glad in the Lord and rejoice in God my Saviour. The Lord gives me my strength. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Habakkuk. I'll give you back your child. So what have we learned from Habakkuk? What have you learned from Habakkuk? Well, I hope that you have seen that when we see injustice, we can bring it to God in a really real way. We can be angry with him and sad with him and frustrated with him. I hope that you see that God has heard our prayers. He hears the prayers that we pray. I hope that you have seen that God acts. He acts in the moment and he will act. And that there is hope. I hope that you have heard that there is hope, that God is and will restore all things. Have you still got your chocolate left? Yeah, show me. Yes, very good. Now, I reckon there are probably about two approaches for how you've gone about resisting this chocolate. One approach might have been that you've just put it out of your mind, you know, consciously or subconsciously, you've just forgotten about the chocolate. Is that anyone? Yeah, a couple of people. There might be another group of people, and I think my children are the main part of this people, who have been so frustrated. They've just wanted that chocolate. Every word I've spoken, they've just got hungrier and hungrier for chocolate. Has anyone been sat there frustrated that haven't said they can eat their chocolate yet? Yeah, Victoria, Isaac, yeah. There's a few. So here's the illustration. Sometimes we see injustice and we put it to the back of our minds and we forget about it and we try not to think about it too much because it's too sad. We get too angry, we get too frustrated, so we put it to the back of our minds and we don't pray. That's me. Or we get so angry about it and we feel this like burning passion and we're so frustrated with God. I've prayed and I know other Christians around the world are praying, so why aren't you doing anything? And so you lose hope and you stop praying. But in Revelation, we are told that our prayers will be like incense and they rise before God. And in his perfect timing, they will be answered in power. And so our prayers are not wasted. They're held before God and they're answered in his perfect timing. So let's keep praying when we see injustice. Don't let apathy or anger silence you, because one day those prayers will be answered. And when we pray, we also get reminded to do those other things, I think, that the Bible teaches us. We get reminded to speak up. We get reminded to act. And Jesus changes us. And we become part of the answer to that prayer of fighting the injustice that we feel so passionately about. We remember how to love our neighbours well. But this is really hard. You can eat your chocolate now, whilst I finish up. Feel free. Unwrap that wrapper and enjoy it. But there are three things that I think can help us keep praying for injustice. The first one is community. So a couple of weeks ago, I was here for the prayer meeting that Faustina led. Was anyone else here that day, that evening? A couple of us. And we were praying about the law and justice here in the UK. And I thought, oh, well, we'll probably finish praying about that in about half an hour. And we had 2 hours and we ran out of time. Because when we gather as community, actually we remember there's so much to pray about. We hear what's on other people's hearts and that inspires us. And we have the motivation to keep praying and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. So that's why here at St. John's, we really ask you to try and get into a midweek group so you can pray with other people every week. Margie and Nikki, they're not here today, but they're a really great example of how they've done this. Every week, they've invited us as church to pray for our government. So if there's something burning on your heart, why not ask a group of friends to pray for that thing you feel passionate about? The second thing is discipline. We might feel really passionate about things when we first see them, but then that passion can fade away, can't it? Well, I know it does for me. So I have got at the beginning of my journal, the front of my journal, this is what I do to help me remember. I've got a little rota, if you like, and it reminds me just of all the things I want to pray for. And every day I've got different things written underneath. And I see this journal every day, so it just reminds me on that day to pray for the thing that I want to pray for. So I don't know what that looks like for you. Maybe you need to put it in your calendar. Maybe you need to tell somebody today what you're going to pray for and when you're going to pray it. Because we might want to pray, but it doesn't mean that we always do. And the last thing is to use the scripture. I don't know how many people spend a lot of time in Habakkuk in the Bible. I certainly don't spend a lot of time reading it. But I hope that you've seen today that the scripture can tell us how to pray. We don't need to make it up on our own. The Bible already teaches us how to pray. And over the next term at St. John's, we're going to be looking at different prayers in the Bible, and we're going to be learning from them as they teach us how to pray. So in a moment, I'm going to invite Luke up to lead us in communion, but just take a moment to think about what you want to do in response to what you've heard today. What do you want to do in response to what you've heard today?